Hey everybody, this episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 18, which is right now on sale for the World Series for just $13.60. That's a 66% savings. Now through November 1st, you can play the best baseball strategy game ever made for just $13.60. You can pick it up today on sale through ootpdevelopments.com or Steam. Not only does it have the entire history of baseball from this season all the way through the entire history of the game way back into the 1800s for the major leagues and the minor leagues, we've also made a bunch of updates to it this season, including you can hop right into the 2017 Major League Baseball playoffs and you can simulate them. You can see if you can change history or if you can make it the same. Who's going to win the World Series? Is it the Dodgers? Is it the Yankees? Is it the Astros? We don't know. But you can make history in Out of the Park Baseball 18 on sale now through November 1st for the World Series for just $13.60. That is a 66% savings. You can get it on PC or Mac. And Franchise Hockey Manager 4 is also now available. The most hockey ever. We are getting a ton of great feedback about our latest Franchise Hockey Manager game. Franchise Hockey Manager 4, officially licensed by the NHL, featuring the all-new stuff for the season, including the new Vegas Golden Knights, as well as the entire history of the NHL playable, a whole bunch of new historical challenges. In fact, at the end of this episode, you're going to hear the producer and the community manager of Franchise Hockey Manager 4 talking a little more in-depth about it after the main segment of the show, so stick around for that. So thank you, Out of the Park Developments. Out of the Park Baseball 18 World Series sale, 66% off. Franchise Hockey Manager 4 on sale today. Pick them up both. You can get them on PC or Mac. Enjoy the show.
The team building, card collecting modes that are found within most sports games these days have become, for many of them, the most popular ways they're played. It wasn't even 10 years ago that they didn't exist, but the emergence and growth of Ultimate Team and EA Sports titles spread to the other big sports games, as well as on mobile, where the model is now utilized for almost every game that's found there. As development costs have continued to rise, and traditional sales for most have declined, publishers have had to rely increasingly on the digital revenue they collect beyond an initial sale or download. Thank you for tuning in to the Press Row Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Weedy, Pasta Padre. For this episode, we've got a panel of experts. I like to think of them as experts anyway, to discuss why the Ultimate Team modes have become such a phenomenon, what currently is working for them and what isn't, and the challenges they face in the years ahead. We've got a terrific panel for this. I really do believe that. We're going to start with that sports gamer, TJ Lowerman. TJ, how have you been, man?
I feel like I am the most terrific of the panel. No offense to anybody else on it. but I've been pretty good playing a lot of these card collecting game modes that you speak of. Mm-hmm. And just having fun playing my sports games and then shooting people in the face in other games. And not successfully, though, but lots of fun with sports games. A long time. How are you?
Oh yeah. You know, I'm doing really well, TJ. Have you listened to recent episodes of the Press Row Podcast?
I mean, I'm catching up. But, yeah. I mean, I heard your episode with the guy from Game Informer. That was great. Mm-hmm. And other episodes.
Yeah, I saw you have a list of, like, I don't know, how many podcasts do you listen to?
I think I've subscribed to about 56.
That's insane. Wow. I have like 4, and I don't know how.
55. Here's the trick. You just go on podcasts, and you don't have to listen to them.
Yeah.
So two of them are my own show. One is this. So if I come on, that saves me a listen later. So right now, you're helping me by saving me a listen later.
Eventually, though, I don't think you're going to get to 56 shows that you appear on.
I could try.
Yeah. All right. Well, I wish you luck in that. We've also got returning the podcast. We've got Snaggle J. He's also known by a name of Chris Jardine. Snaggle, how you been, man?
You know what? I'm going to chalk today up as a win. I've been referred to as an expert twice today, so that's going to go. That's going to make today good. No, things have been good. You know, just grinding away at sports and non-sports games and taking on a new challenge in life of the. And I mean, you guys can shudder at the thought of being TJ's underling in a professional setting. So that's been an interesting opportunity that, you know, I've added to my plate. It's been a busy, busy fall, but, you know, the games are good. So that makes the evenings a lot of fun.
I hope TJ's been treating you well.
I have no complaints, and I'm not just saying that because he's here.
He has no complaints that he's willing to say.
There's no complaints that can be audible in this podcast.
Can I? I'm going to just be an American for a second, and I'm going to invoke my Fifth Amendment rights.
That's a good idea. You can never go wrong with that. So yeah, we've also got Daniel Basil. He's known as Uber YouTuber. He's back. He was on a month or so ago, weren't you?
That sounds about right. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks again for having me. I don't think I ever told you guys this, but the Press Row podcast is really the show that kind of turned me from just a gamer into actually being really interested in the industry. So being on this show is always very special to me. So thanks again for having me.
I'm going to take credit for that. I will not mention it to Rich Grisham.
Who is suspended today, right?
He's been suspended. He's suspended for suspending me. And, you know, we just kind of go back and forth on that. There's no escaping it. Finally, we've got Mills Gaming TV making his triumphant return to the podcast. Mills, what you been up to?
What's going on, guys? Just arguing with people on Twitter. It's just my whole life now is that, you know, I enjoy sports gaming too much that I want other people to enjoy it, and no one wants to enjoy it. So they say, no, you can't enjoy it. And I was like, okay, sure, whatever you say.
Yeah, you know, you're not allowed to have fun. You would agree with that, right? According, at least on social media and in the Twitch chats. Is that true?
Well, I agree. I think Twitter tends to be the most, and this word is going to get to some people because people make fun of it now. Toxic. Twitter tends to be the most toxic of all the social medias when it comes, because you know people just throw their ideas out there behind a handle. But like, if you try to be positive about games, it's very tough in certain social media circles to do that. And you know, you try to change that one user at a time.
Awesome. Well, we are going to talk all about the Ultimate Team type modes. This is something I know all of you are very into, and I think it's interesting to come at it from an angle of why everyone, or not everyone, but why so many people are compelled by these team building type modes and the card collecting that goes into them, and also where that's going to lead in the years ahead and how it's affecting the rest of the games right now, or the rest of the elements of each game right now. So let's start though with, you know, when did you start playing the Ultimate Team type modes? What got you hooked into them that so much that you're spending significant amounts of time and maybe even money on them? TJ?
Well, I'm going to have to go back to... when did it even start in FIFA? I feel like really early in the Ultimate Team lifespan of FIFA. I might have been 11 or 12 when I started there. Because I really loved, I think it was 2010 World Cup South Africa got me back in playing FIFA.
That was like
a game changer for me.
Yeah, World Cup games are fantastic.
Yeah, so once I got back in... Ultimate Team there was a real good thing for me because I wasn't a huge soccer fan at the time, but Ultimate Team allowed me to learn about a lot of players from all over the world and be like, okay, I like these guys, and now I like this team. Oh, all these guys on Bayern Munich are good in Ultimate Team. Let me get those, and now I'm going to go watch them actually play on Saturdays and Sundays. Sundays? I don't even know if they play soccer. Saturday mornings, right? That's when everybody starts tweeting, and I get very confused about why everyone's awake.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's about right.
I'm like, it's 8:30, and my Twitter timeline's full. What are you people doing?
Dude, and you're on the East Coast. I see that stuff. I'm not awake that early.
Yeah. That's what really drew me into it. And then, obviously, I got really big into Madden. And now Diamond Dynasty, though, I feel like for me, as a person that spends a little bit of money in these modes, it's been very cyclical. Like, I was really into FIFA those first couple years. And I think around 2014, I kind of dropped off, switched over to Madden, where I was really deep into it. And then last year, I kind of dropped off of Madden, and I've been pretty much really big into MLB. And now I feel like I'm kind of getting back into FIFA. I feel like it's really hard to keep multiple Ultimate Team modes in different games going at the same time. So I feel like it's been real cyclical for me. Yeah, loving them all right now. FIFA, Madden, and MLB a little bit.
Are you spending money in them too, or are you just playing them? You're just putting a lot of time.
I'm spending a little bit of money, not crazy amounts. I really don't want to know what I spent back in the early years of FIFA. I feel like I've been better recently.
Snaggle, where did you start with these Ultimate Team type modes, how has that developed over the years since then?
It's kind of funny because until a few years ago, I actually avoided these modes like the plague, and I think that was because I had the misconception that you would equate Ultimate Team modes with playing online head to head, which I could not stand. I mean, my background in sports gaming is as a franchise guy. I mean, I've enjoyed franchises up and down. I mean, from all the way back to World Series Baseball 95 on my Genesis. I've always been that franchise or that season-based guy. So the thought of Ultimate Team modes for me was just not there. And it's kind of funny because I watched a That Sports Gamer video in 2014, if I'm not mistaken, where he kind of equated Diamond Dynasty with combining video games and fantasy baseball. And I thought, well, I love fantasy baseball. I've played it for, 10, 15 years. It's like, well, maybe I'll give it a try. And yeah, there's been no going back. So, I mean, Diamond Dynasty turned into Mutt, which turned into Hutt, which has, kind of stuck within those three. And I think, like TJ mentioned, I think it's kind of cyclical as well, because I would have spent a fraction this year versus last year, like, of real money within Ultimate Team modes. I guarantee it would be probably 10%. And I think that's just because, with different things going on in my life, I have less time to dedicate to them. And I think the other side of the coin is now where I spend more time focusing on being, a streamer and a content creator. Instead of spending money on packs, I spend money to upgrade, my microphone for the stream. So I spend time, grinding and trying to do it without spending the humongous monetary investment. I still usually buy the ultimate editions that come out, like the GOAT edition of Madden, for example. And I might drop a little bit on packs in the first week, but that's really been about it for me.
All right, Uber, give us your background with these modes and where it's taken you to now.
Yes, so I'm very early adapter. I've pretty much started playing since the very beginning, FIFA 09, I believe. So FIFA 08, FIFA 09. And it was an add-on back then, that kind of got released like mid-year.
Yeah, it came out as a patch, I think, right?
Right, and I think they charged you for it, so you had to pay for it, for the game mode itself. And I was interested in it right off the bat. I kind of went away from Ultimate Team. FIFA, just for some reason, I enjoy FIFA a lot. FIFA's Ultimate Team never really completely grabbed me as much as some of these other ones did. So I tried it out in 09, and then I probably went away from Ultimate Team altogether until about 2012, when I started getting back into like Madden Ultimate Team, Mutt. And really in the last couple of years, I've really gotten into it. Diamond Dynasty is a huge reason for that. I've really gotten hooked on that within the last 2 years, and Mutt as well. Mutt has been pretty great for me personally the last 2-3 years. And then I also kind of got hooked on this mobile game, NBA Live Mobile, last year, and that's built around the Ultimate Team model, and I've been enjoying that quite a bit as well. I think Snaggle brought up a great point. I think people that enjoy fantasy football and fantasy baseball, fantasy basketball, are really kind of they probably are prone to enjoy an Ultimate Team based game mode. Being able to build a team just with your favorite players, rather than taking your favorite team and then trying to make trades to get some better players. That's what I used to do. I used to kind of mess with the rosters, in all these games, and then I discovered Ultimate Team. I thought, well, I can just do it on here. Granted, it's a little bit different, but same concept. So yeah, I've been pretty hardcore into it the last 3 years, I'd say, across all the different sports games. However, it is pretty tough to play more than one at a time.
Yeah.
Like TJ was saying, I mean, it's, you know, especially if you are spending a little bit of money, it's hard to keep up on. And they're so dynamic. There's so much stuff going on. Like Madden, you know, if you don't log on for a week, you feel like you've missed a ton of stuff. It's like incredible how much stuff keeps getting cranked out. So it's really hard to keep up with more than just one.
Yep. Mills, give me your thoughts on the Ultimate Teams, where you came from and what your involvement is with them now.
I actually came from Madden 13, I believe, is the first time, because of the solo challenges. I've never been an online player in Ultimate Team, with the exception of Diamond Dynasty and Hockey, NHL Ultimate Team. The other ones, I like to play the solo challenges and collect cards. Like every year in Madden, I eventually get to like a 90-something overall team. It just doesn't happen till later in the year because I'm doing solo challenges and, you know, saving up coins and buying people off the market. But like, you get into Hockey, where, you know, where one of my fortes is that I enjoy hockey more than pretty much anything else, and I play that online. Or Diamond Dynasty, which I love playing Diamond Dynasty online. But I really, my goal as a Ultimate Team player was always solos, computer stuff. As it stands now, I still play Diamond Dynasty. I play Madden Ultimate Team solo only, but much less than I have in previous years. I play a little bit of my team in NBA 2K. I play a little bit of Ultimate Team in NHL, mostly solos there too, because just like some of the gameplay elements have turned me off. But like Uber, a lot of my time is spent now in EA Madden and NBA Live Mobile. I've really liked the fact that they're bite-sized kind of gaming aspects that I can do, just as TJ says constantly, you know, you're in the bathroom for a couple of minutes to just play a couple of solos or play a league game or something like that. I think Uber and I actually in a lead together on Madden. So like, it's one of those cool things that like you can just get a lot done in a very short amount of time. And especially Madden Mobile this year, where they made it so you can train players this year. Like, that's the first time I've seen something like that, where you can level up a player that you like instead of having to worry about another card.
Yes.
It's a very cool thing that they're doing with it. So that's really attracted me back into EA, like the mobile side of Madden and both NBA Live.
Hey, everybody, we're going to take just a moment here to thank our sponsor this week, Redbox. You know, everybody knows that Redbox is about renting movies and video games for cheap. But did you know that Redbox also sells used games starting as low as $4.99? So for the price of one of those extra large caramel frap, double espresso, no foam, two foam drinkity drinks that you love, and you know you do, you could start the most legendary game night tradition ever, playing your hearts out all the way up till bedtime for way less than you'd pay in store. You can keep your kids quietly entertained all month long. I know something about that. So that you can practice that extremely complex and extremely painful yoga pose and get it down to perfection so that you can impress your entire class with your superhuman flexibility. Yeah, of course, because that's what I do. That's right. Buying games for Redbox is a way cheaper option, and this time you keep them forever. So right now, Doom, Dark Souls 3, Madden NFL 17 are all for sale. So head over to the box and do game night on the cheap. Redbox, the smarter way to watch and play.
So, Mills, this may have come up on your Twitter. I think I may have seen it on your Twitter. If not, I'm sure you still have a thought on this. These modes, do you believe they're more directed at a casual crowd or the hardcore type of sports gamer, or do you think they cater equally to both?
So, I think they used to go to casuals. I think in recent years they've become more and more intense and more complicated. And I still think they want casuals to play it because that's the majority of the audience. You even like Longshot kind of leads you into Ultimate Team with cards for that. But what I think what you're talking about on my Twitter feed is like the Madden Most Feared right now is there were videos put out before Most Feared that the Tony Gonzalez in the Scary Tall section was for the quote unquote grinders. Well, when I hear grinder, I think people that are doing their solos. That's what I've always thought Grindr means in terms of an Ultimate Team. You know, you do a bunch of solos, you get rewarded for them. Mm-hmm. But now it's like Madden, you have to do solos, you get tokens. You build tokens to build tall players. You build tall players to build elite players. Plus, you have to have elite players with more tokens to get into there to build the elite player. Then you take the elite players that you've built from the tall players and the tokens. You add them into the captain, which with like a bunch of elite players that cost tokens. Plus, you have to put more tokens into the captain. Then once you have all six of the captains, you can put them and make the boss. But then you get the captains back in an NAT, a non-auction trade card, but you get the captain too. Plus those tokens, you know, can also go to these scary strong players, which you can do the same thing with. And it's if you kind of see where I'm going with this, like,
yeah. Yes,
it when it comes to people that have played Ultimate Team, yes, that is something they expect. They can do the research. They can go to Mudhead, all of those different things. But somebody that's walking into Madden, into this program, you know, someone that's purchasing it possibly on sale during the middle of the football season, like that's intimidating. That's extremely intimidating to walk into.
And it's something I've talked about over the years on various shows. And this was before I kind of got into the Ultimate Team modes. And then after, which was really last year when they seemed to pique my interest the most. And I go back also, I heard a couple mentions of Diamond Dynasty being a central one for a bunch of us. And it was for me, it was really the first one I got into. And it was because it was simple. It was pretty straightforward, and you kind of knew the direction to go. You knew the goals. You knew the programs. They weren't complicated. But I would look at modes like Madden Ultimate Team, FIFA Ultimate Team, and I'd think that's too overwhelming for me. TJ, you know, are these modes something that are still approachable for people if they haven't already put out, you know, a number of hours into getting comfortable with them and playing them over maybe even a series of years?
I think so, but I feel like it's getting harder and harder. And even to go back to what Mill says, even for people that have played Ultimate Team, some of this stuff is getting kind of crazy. I still don't know how Mutt Heroes work, and I don't think I'm going to put in the time to sit down with like three chalkboards and try to figure out what I actually have to do to get someone to a Mutt Hero card rather than just buying them off the auction block. I think the game that does the best onboarding process for Ultimate Team is MLB The Show, because you get a lot of stuff outside of Ultimate Team that gets you or outside of Diamond Dynasty that gets you ready for the mode. Like anytime you finish a game, you're getting stuff, you're getting cards as rewards and stuff to get you to over there to check it out and see what's going on there. I think the ones that I really like are the ones like FIFA and Madden, where there's so much stuff that you can just specify like into one subsection of Ultimate Team rather than trying to play like the whole thing. If you're not going to be someone that's going to be grinding and spending a ton of money, going in and playing, you know, foot draft and what do they call it in Madden?
Madden Champions?
Madden Champions, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so rather than having to build up your team, you can play those modes or Battle Royale and Diamond Dynasty. I think those are better for the casual drive-by person that's not going to have a great team, you know, right off the bat, and isn't going to spend money and is going to grind and is going to have to grind for hours and hours. But yeah, I think for most people that are going to be new to an Ultimate Team or a card collecting mode, I think they should definitely hop in at like the end of 1 year, just go in, see what's there, and then start fresh on a new year. Because I think if you don't have like a kind of base level of what's going on, and you need that base level, and then you need to start fresh on a new game to see what's going on, or you're just going to be completely overwhelmed with no matter what you do. Even Madden this year, like the game launched, and I was like, okay, this is okay. There's not a whole bunch of crazy stuff. And then like week two of Madden, it was like, yeah, all right, we got this coming out. We got these coming out. We got updates over here. We got Twitch Prime Legends going. And yeah,
once the game starts,
these guys can get powered up, and then these guys can't get powered up. And by the way, those power up cards, you have to do a set to get the power up cards. You get one set to start the year, just because you're an Ultimate Team player. But then to get the more of them, you have to create a silver token, which you need to do with just 10 regular silver players. By the way, that's changed. It used to be 10 silver players for the team. Now it's 10 general silver players. Like, and I think that's the other point of this is, like, one of the things I've heard is, well, they're making changes to make it easier. Well, yeah, they're making changes to make it easier, but that's now changing what was already hard, and you have to relearn that part. It's and there's no with the exception of Mudhead being the one site that you can go to and get all of this information. But even there, it is tough to get this communicated. There's no one form of communication.
Yeah, I still think, like, if you are dedicated to playing one of these modes, you definitely need to, like, find a Sherpa that's already doing it to help guide you through it all. Because if you don't, you're going to get completely overwhelmed and just not want
to
play.
Oh, with us, and to TJ's point, I mean, with all of us, we get Twitter questions all the time. Just randomly. Like, would you go with this card or would you go with this card? Is this set in particular game X worth it? And I mean, it's just because it's a time and monetary investment sometimes, especially in the EA card collecting modes, where a lot of things but a lot of things can be completed easier by spending real money, because you can get bundle X or, you know, bundle Y. And I think we all get questions about the various games that we play on an almost daily basis from people who just want a little bit of insight before they open their wallets and start spending. And I mean, and I've all but moved away from Madden because it is so overwhelming at this point. And the big thing for me is with NHL 18 adding more offline content to Hockey Ultimate Team, I have been playing so much Hockey Ultimate Team because that is exactly what I want to give me. Let me spend my 3 hours, you know, playing some CPU games and some offline stuff and still getting coins and put rewards in the mode. And Madden, I open it up and I'm like, okay, what do I do now? There's 75 new sets since the last time I played. I have time to do three. Which three do I do? And I'm just like, okay, I turn it off and I play something else. That's how it's gotten with that for me.
And oftentimes, you know, those three sets that you may be able to complete within your allotted time that you might have that night, you know, you might carve out 3 hours of your night. Oftentimes, they're probably not rewarding enough to really get into, right? Like, I mean, that's kind of the position I find myself in. Sometimes I'll boot up a game and I'll see what I can do and what the ultimate reward is for a certain set. And then I kind of glance at what I need to do to be able to complete the set without buying packs, and it's just, it becomes this like super daunting task, and I almost, you know, oftentimes I say forget it, I'll do something different, I'll play some draft champions or Madden champions, I think it's called now, instead. It's tough. There's a lot. There's just a lot. Like I said, it's really hard to play more than just one of those game modes. I mean, really, all these games are competing for our time, and it's only so many hours in the day, you know?
The hardest thing I learned was at some point, you just have to be like, okay, I'm not going to play these solos. If they're time limited, I'm not going to do this week's, and I'm going to be okay with that and not hate myself.
Right.
And the other part about all this is about, and I'm going to reiterate the two modes that I think do it the best is, I think Diamond Dynasty puts out goals and rewards the best on the console, because they tell you here, this is this card, you have to do these stats, you have to win these games, this is what you have to do.
Yes.
Like, and there is no... Yeah. You have to now, when there's a collection, it tells you need these six cards. You can get these six cards in these packs. There's no like tokens and sub pieces and all this other little stuff. The other thing that, and I'm going to harp on this a couple times in this conversation, because I was blown away. This is the first year that I was really blown away with it, is the mobile games. Now they put everything in front of you and say, all right, let's say you open a pack, right? If it's tokens or something, they automatically put it into the set for you. There's only one set that those tokens go into. They automatically put them in for you. Or you click the little set button. It tells you, hey, you need this many more of this token to get this player. There are progress bars. There's everything. And it's laid out very well. Now, there is some depth to it for the more serious players. Like, there is definitely some depth into the higher end stuff for mobile. But everything is onboarded.
Yeah.
I think the two mobile games do it. I don't play a lot of FIFA, but in terms of live and Madden, I think they do it better than any of the console games do.
Yeah.
And the console games are just now starting to get some of the stuff from the mobile games. Like one of the nice things about Madden Ultimate Team, and it probably was in live too on mobile, was that if you put a card into a set, you could decide to pull it out. And that was in Madden Mobile for like 2 or 3 years. They just put that into Madden Ultimate Team on the consoles.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that could really hurt you if you're not paying attention and accidentally start assigning cards to sets and then realize you didn't want to do that.
I've done that move.
I think the other thing too, and you know, with Mills mentioning the you know, how Diamond Dynasty is obviously, you know, being made by someone else makes it kind of different than the rest of these. The one thing that Diamond Dynasty does that makes the entrance point lower is one currency.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One currency, and I know it, you know, a lot of people overlook, but one currency is absolutely massive because everything you do gets you coins. Franchise game gets you coins. Road to the Show gets you coins. Playing, you know, doing versus CPU games in Diamond Dynasty, head-to-head games, everything gets you coins. And you can use those coins to buy every kind of pack they release. If they release a 10-pack bundle, a 20-pack bundle, a 50-pack bundle, Players of the Month, it doesn't matter. Anything they release in the store can be bought with coins. And, you know, that's the frustrating part I find and why I'm playing more of the mobile version is, for example, on Android, you know, there are apps you can have on your Android device and your iOS device that will allow you to do, like, a Google Opinion Rewards, for example, allows you to earn Play Store currency, which you can then use in Madden Mobile because you need it to unlock the certain types of bundles and certain packs that they will not allow you to spend your coins on. So, you know, Diamond Dynasty does a lot of things, you know, different. But yeah, I think on the entry point scale, I would have to agree that I think Diamond Dynasty is probably the easiest for somebody just to jump into.
It's a great point.
Coming from somebody who on this podcast lamented the fact that they used money to be able to buy players directly, I was wrong. Like, Diamond Dynasty does it the right way, and they control their economy the best way for that, in terms of, like Stangle said, with one currency like that.
Yeah, plus you get players that may have never played Diamond Dynasty and they're playing, you know, half a year of MLB The Show. They're into different game modes, yet they're accruing stubs throughout the year. And, you know, they may have stacked up 100K in stubs that they haven't used yet. And maybe now is a time, hey, let me check out Diamond Dynasty. And now you got all these stubs to start out with, and you're probably going to have a positive experience even as a newcomer. Even this late in the year, you know, being able to buy some packs and stuff. I really, really, really like the one currency system.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing is to jump into it. And, you know, we all had this conversation on the various shows that we participate in was, you know, earlier in the year was jumping into Diamond Dynasty and, you know, staying offline and doing Conquest, which allowed, you know, you finished Conquest. You had, you know, several high golds, several diamond players, and a lot of coins that you could go and work the market. And, you know, just from playing that one offline mode, you ended up with a very solid base for a team. My issue that I had with Madden this year is, you know, I opened a bunch of packs on the first day. I sold my elites that I had no intention of keeping because their price was high. And then I was like, okay, what do I do with my coins now? Do I upgrade, you know, one position? Do I upgrade a couple positions? And it just never get to the point where I feel like I have a good team. So then you start looking at, okay, well, how am I going to get better? What sets am I going to do? And then before you know it, there's 75 different directions you can go in. And
well, and then there's also elements like chemistry, right? Where yeah. you get a player, you're like, all right, maybe you luck out, you get a player, he's rated highly, but you realize you can't use him because you'll screw up your chemistry.
Oh, there's so much nuance.
Yeah.
I honestly, the chemistry in that, I don't even pay attention. Mm-hmm. I've completely just succumbed to the fact that I'm just not going to even try to understand that. I'm just going to plug in the players that I like and hope for the best. But yeah, that's a whole nother aspect. I mean, there's so much. I think it's a pretty steep learning curve for newcomers. Like Mills was saying, the tokens, and you use the tokens to upgrade to a certain player, and then you need that player to put into a set. There's no clear path, it seems like, to some of these promos and stuff, to where Diamond Dynasty, and maybe it's just baseball itself, it kind of lends itself to it's a numbers game, right? Get 200 hits with this player, hit four home run or five home runs with this player. It just it feels like there's more of a clear path to success sometimes in Diamond Dynasty, and I think that's what I enjoy the most about it. No matter when I jump in, I feel like there's a set or something I can do, and it's pretty easy to understand how long it's going to take me, kind of eyeball it, and what I need to be able to unlock this reward.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough balance that I see the publishers having to deal with in that they want to keep people who are active in the modes engaged, which means content new almost every day or certainly once or twice a week, versus once you add all that up, it becomes intimidating for people who have not started in the mode or who have walked away from the mode for a period of time. So that's tough, and I'm not sure there's a simple answer to how to deal with that. But one way they would, of course, love for people to get on board and keep up is by spending money in the mode. So let's talk a little bit about that, because they're obviously designed in a way to put you into situations or pressure you into feeling like you need, or not need, but you can certainly obtain something you really want. And you can keep up much better if you're spending money on buying packs or spending money on the currency in which you can then acquire cards through, like, the marketplace. So do you feel like you can play these modes, you can compete within them, and you can enjoy them without spending money? Let's start with you, Uber.
Okay. Loaded question. It kind of... depends on the game, honestly. MLB The Show this year, I did not spend a whole lot of money on, and I really didn't spend any money in the beginning, and I felt like I could kind of hang for the most part. You know, there's certain budget beast players you can get, you know, that are pretty easily obtainable, and I felt like I could hang even playing online, and certainly in the solos and the conquest. Now, mobile games, some of these mobile Ultimate Team mode-based games, I think it's a little bit tougher. And I've tried it both ways. I've spent a ton of cash on a certain mobile game, and I've also tried to do a free-to-play approach. And it's certainly very, very tough if you're not ready to spend at least a little bit of cash on these mobile games. Now, granted, these games are free to play. I mean, the entry level is free. You can download them for free. You can play them for free. Mm-hmm. But you're probably not, at least in my experience, I did not have a very positive experience playing these games solely for free without dropping any kind of cash on them. So to me, it all depends, I guess, on the game. I mean, Madden, Mutt, if you have a ton of time, you could probably compete if you really just grind and grind and grind your butt off, almost treat it like a full-time job. You could probably succeed and have a decent time. But the mobile side of gaming, I think it's a lot tougher with the free-to-play approach.
Snaggle, what do you think? Do you have a good time when you're – or as good a time when you're not spending money as when you maybe are?
I mean – let's get real here for a second. if I spent my way to a team full of 99s in any game, I have the same stick skills, and you guys know those are terrible. So for me to spend money on these modes is not something I like to do. I spent a lot less in Diamond Dynasty this year, but to be fair, I played it a lot less than I did last year, but I still and still do enjoy Diamond Dynasty. I've played it a couple nights this week. I'm still enjoying the game despite, you know, the challenges that the game currently faces with, you know, decreasing numbers of people online and things like that. You know, I haven't spent barely any money on Madden outside of the first day. And to be fair, my enjoyment of the mode right now is pretty close to zero, just based on the overwhelming amount of information that I have to go through every day. And I've probably spent $75 to $100, including the additional that I paid for the early edition of NHL. And I'm loving it. Loving Hockey Ultimate Team. I'm loving the game. Yes, head-to-head online, as Millennium will 100% agree with me, it has challenges. It's not anywhere near as good as the offline NHL experience, but I'm loving Hockey Ultimate Team right now. And, you know, I would consider the amount of money I've spent to be a low to modest amount. So yeah, you can definitely have fun in these modes, you know, with little to no investment. I mean, it's the scale, right? It's investment versus time. Some people want that instant gratification and they don't have the time to spend to get card X, and other guys do. And I mean, that's something that everyone has to evaluate for themselves.
Now, TJ, I know you're a big baller, right? So,
biggest. Yeah, but I really agree with what both these guys have said, specifically Snaggle. With it, really comes down to how you play the mode and what kind of time you have. Like, if someone like me, I like to play Diamond Dynasty online. So I felt like I need to get in there, spend some money, build up my team, and go, because I want to play online. Now, if I didn't want to play online and I didn't mind, you know, grinding out all these solos and stuff, and I had all the time in the world, I would not have spent a dollar, and I'd done really great there. Madden, I don't like to play online, so getting a super team right up front is not something I need to do, and I can just sit here and I can grind out the, I think there's probably 800 solos that you can go on and do now and earn a whole bunch of coins and have a lot of fun that way. So I really think it's down to what you like in the game and what you are willing to spend your time on. Because, like, there's cards in Diamond Dynasty that I could go out and get now, and then I have to do whatever I have to do for the first part. Then I have to go play 5 solos and get some mission sets, but I want that card now, and I don't really want to waste my time doing all this stuff. I'm going to be better off, you know, throwing $20 in, maybe just go buying an equal card to it and getting my jollies that way. But yeah, something like a Madden, I feel like you can make if you can spend like $20 up front, you'll have a decent team to start with, and you can just start playing your solos and not have a bad time. So I really think it comes down to what you want to do and what kind of time you are willing to put into the game.
Yeah, Mills, where do you stand on the whole money?
I think money, in terms of where you want to compete, if you want to play the game and compete on the middle tier, then you don't have to spend a dime. But if you want to play in any one of the games, sans probably the show, because of the way the market is, and compete top tier, you need to spend money. And it's not a question. Like, those Madden guys that play top tier, that play salary cap and stuff, there are, like you said, specific chemistries, specific thresholds for specific ratings. You can know all of that. You can absolutely know every piece of research you have. But you're not competing with those top tier guys. Like, you're not going to get up into that Madden Classic territory without spending some money in the game. I think that's true in terms of Madden. I think that's true in terms of NHL. I think that's true in terms of NBA. I think NBA 2K is absolutely true, even though my team isn't focused on as much in that game. I think in the show, you can get by, but it just takes more time because of the one currency and the fact that they give you auctionable cards for a lot of the missions. So
yeah, you're gonna have to spend a lot of time to do it in the show.
You would have to spend a lot of time. I mean, yeah, I think you have to spend money. I'm gonna take that back. I think you have to spend money in every one of those modes to compete top tier. The mobile, as Uber was saying, I will say the mobile is a free to play. So because it's free to play, I think it gets more of a pass in terms of the money you would have to spend to it. But to build a team up, I mean, it's very hard to build a team after like the first surge. Like every free to play has that like that first step up that you get to, and then it turns into like that big cliff in front of you going, how am I getting up there without, you know, buying something? And I think that gets, like I said, more of a pass because of that, because it's free to play.
Yeah. So there's something that's fascinated me about Ultimate Team, and it relates to something all four of you do, and that's stream and create content utilizing these Ultimate Team type modes. And, you know, I wonder, is it so popular to watch? Because it tends to be, and Mills, you know, this is something you've taken on too, is that, you know, sports games haven't been big on streaming sites. They're not watched at the same rate that other genre games, the big games, are, despite these games selling as many or more copies. But when they do, the streams you see with the numbers are generally Ultimate Team or just card pack openings for any of the games. And so, you know, I think in a sense, it's easier on obviously the content creators because they're able to produce something and maybe get some return on doing it. But is, you know, Mills, is that because, you know, I wonder, is it because people are living kind of through you saying, I can't afford that, or I'll never get that card, or, you know, what is it about it that makes it compelling for people to watch?
I don't think it's a living through the streamer. I think it's a group atmosphere. Like, I think it's being part of a large group that is celebrating a good thing. I don't think it's so much like, because if it was like two or three people, would people really get that hype about it? I mean, on Twitter, people get hype on Twitter when you post a picture, but it's not the same thing as like a stream or a video. Yeah. I think it's everybody feeling like they're a part of something. And when something good comes up, you know, everybody in the chat's like, oh my God, what a great poll. And then when nothing comes up, like, oh, packs are trash, but it's everybody together. I think that is where that comes from. I don't know that it's so much. Yeah, maybe part of it is, you know what, I'm never going to open this many packs. I'm using the streamer to say, hey, if this streamer pulling a lot of good stuff, maybe I'll pull some stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll spend some money on the packs. That's part of it. But I think most of it is like people watch Toke Nasty. Toke Nasty is great at it, because he gets excited on stream when it happens. When something good happens, he gets hyped up about it, and that gets his chat up with him. So I think it's that feeling of closeness with a bunch of other of your closest internet friends getting together and saying, you know, this is really cool, a good thing happening, we can all celebrate together.
Yeah, you know, Uber, do you find that your content is engaged with more when it comes to the pack openings and the various things that are related to these modes?
100% for sure. When I streamed NBA Live Mobile heavily 6 months ago or so, at its peak, you could literally, I would rip a bunch of packs, I would rip a bundle or whatnot on stream, and I'd have a certain amount of viewers, and maybe we'd pull a crazy elite player. And I would say, okay, let's jump into a game with this player. Let's see how he plays. And immediately, the viewer count would go down 40%. Wow. I'm not even kidding. I mean, an incredible amount of viewership just went down. And as soon as I started ripping packs again, the viewership went up. Now, that's just one guy. I'm just one guy. You know, there's different ways to make content that's exciting for people, but for me personally, I can definitely say that, yeah, ripping packs is still king. But to Mill's point, there is this togetherness with pulling, this crazy epic pull live on stream with all the people in the stream, or even doing it on a video and posting it. I still get, you know, messages from people that are saying, Uber, I remember when you pulled Jerry West in your car. And, you know, it's like a year and a half ago, and people still remember certain pulls, and they feel like they're being part of it. So I do think there is some of that as well. But I also think there is some of, you know, let's see what Uber can pull. He got this $50 bundle, and, you know, I might not be able to buy this, but let's see what he pulls. You know, so living kind of vicariously through me, I guess, or through the content creators, there is some of that as well.
Yeah, it is. I think it is probably the most social way to play. It's the most shareable way to play these games now, as far as social media and videos and streaming. I think that has a big effect on why they've grown so much. And then someone will watch a pack opening, see something happen, and they'll want to go do it themselves, and then they'll be very disappointed. But as it tends to work out, when you think you're going to get something good, you inevitably do not. But you know, I was thinking about that just earlier, and I thought that was an interesting factor in the growth of these modes and how it seems to spread and continue to get bigger. I wanted to talk also about this thought I have in my head, and we've kind of hit on it a bit earlier when we talk about the modes being overwhelming and the amount of content and getting lost within them. But, you know, are people going to lose interest in these at some point? Are they going to drop out after maybe they don't have the energy to do it on a year-to-year basis? I thought this would have happened by now. I've been wrong about that, because just from my own personal experience of playing them a lot last year, I really didn't want to start them again, because you have to start from scratch. You're not carrying over. You're starting from scratch again. Snaggle, do you feel like there's going to be a point where people maybe have had enough of this, where it's not differentiated enough on a year-to-year basis?
I mean, the quick answer is no. I don't think Ultimate Team modes are going anywhere anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, I feel like some of these modes are kind of going the way of like a new convenience store in town, as an example. Run with me for a second. You know, they open it up, it's popular, it's cool, people go in, they spend their money, and then the owners make a decision, you know what, we're going to stock all this extra stuff and stuff that we've never had, and we're going to fill the store. And then the people come in the store and they're confused because, well, it wasn't the same stuff they had before, and now they can't find what they want. Eventually, that person goes and shops somewhere else that is a little more basic and fits their needs better. And I think you might start to see some of these modes, and again, you guys know that these modes are being evaluated on the profit that they generate for the companies. That's priority number one, mm-hmm. is how much money are these modes bringing in? And I think you may start to see that plateau in the next couple of years if they continue to get overly complicated. Because, and this is a conversation that, you know, that's been going on, especially in the last few weeks since Madden has ramped up, is this year especially, they seem to be doing everything within their power to push the casual gamer away. And if they continue to push the casual gamer, and if Madden 19 does the same, I think you're going to start to see that revenue is going to start to plateau, because fewer people are going to be playing the mode. And then that's when they're going to have to scale it back and be like, okay, we're going to have to cut some of the fat and try to bring those casual people back in. But ultimately, I think that these types of modes with, you know, with the streaming and content creation and just the overall way the games are played right now, I don't think you're going to see card collecting modes go anywhere anytime soon.
TJ, is this a factor in why you kind of bounce between games? Is it just that you don't feel like starting again in the same game the next year, or that it's not different enough from year to year?
That's probably what it is, because I think specifically in FIFA, I was just I found myself just building the same teams over and over every year, and I guess that's kind of what I guess that would definitely be the thing that really turned me off, or they just not having new enough stuff coming back each year. But also I've noticed that with the advent of Ultimate Teams, I'm playing less games per year. Like, I literally used to get every sports game that would come out, give me my my Don Bradman cricket and my rugbies. But now with Ultimate Team turning these games into, you know, year-round things, they're really... Some companies are just cannibalizing sales of other games. Like, I'm going to play Madden and FIFA, so you can put out NHL and NBA all you want. I'm not going to buy those because I'm already spending... You're already trying to get me to spend so much time in these other games that I just don't have time for the multitude of games that I used to be playing.
And, yeah, you've seen that happen in the last couple of years, especially where you have to... People... Certainly the publishers do want people to commit to the games for a longer period of time. They don't want them to sell their copy used. They want them to continue to spend money on the game. That's why EA has something like an EA Access where they can get people in for free later in the year where they'll maybe spend money and they'll make some revenue that they wouldn't have had otherwise. But you're right. It squeezes out a lot of other games. It makes you commit to one or two or whatever it might be, wherever, however much time you have or money you have. And kind of those fringe games, the ones you might have interest in, the ones you might want to play a little bit, makes it a lot harder to justify picking those up. Mills, what do you think? Do you feel like there's an issue there as far as how much you have to commit into it and what that means for where what other games you're able to play at any given time?
I don't think it's as big of an issue for like casual fans, because I don't think casual fans buy multiple sports games. I think casual fans buy like a basketball game or a football game, but like they're not going to get too far into it. But I agree that like if you're a sports gamer and you play all of them and you want to play all of them well, NBA, you're not going to be able to play NBA. You have to play NBA 2K as your main game to do well in it, and that's including my team. You have to play Madden Ultimate Team as your main game to do well in it. I would be challenged to find somebody that's playing on their own, mind you, not with like Smurf accounts or people playing their games for them, which for whatever reason happens, but like playing on their own with their own time, also content creating, playing an NBA and a Madden at the same time and being high level in both. Or playing a like MLB, and I think MLB you get to be a little, you can do because it's a different season. So you could probably play MLB and Madden and be good in both. That but helps. playing games at the same time, there's like FIFA, like be good at FIFA and Madden. I just, there's no way you can be good at both spending money, or I mean, with that kind of time commitment. And that's what it is now, is if you want to be good, you have to put that time commitment in. And there's no way you can do that with the way the games are set up now.
So, Uber, what do you think? What do you think is the biggest concern for publishers going forward with these modes? Is it that? Is it kind of getting people on board with the heavy competition that's going around? Is it server issues? Is it that they're too overwhelming? Is it that people get tired from starting from scratch, or that the publishers will run out of ideas for these modes? What do you think is the biggest concern as we go forward with the Ultimate Team type modes?
So to me, and once again, I'm just a guy, so I honestly don't know, but to me, it's pushing the casual gamer away is my personal biggest concern. Mm-hmm. Because to me, the whales, in these Ultimate Team modes, the whales fuel the games, but I believe that the mass, the casual gamer, the free-to-play gamer still kind of propel the game, and they're needed just as much as the whales are for these companies, because the free-to-play players in these Ultimate Team modes are the people on social media. They're the people really driving the product, really creating the hype around the product. And the people that spend a lot of money on these game modes, oftentimes, from my experience at least, are kind of more so in the background, unless you're talking content creators. But there's a whole another group of people that we don't see on a day-to-day basis that spend a lot of money on these game modes. But I do feel like the casual gamer, if these companies start driving the casual gamer and even the free-to-play players in these game modes away, making it even harder to compete in these game modes, it's going to be trouble. But that's just my opinion. I'm, you know, what do I know?
Well, that's why we got you on. You're an expert. Snaggle, what do you think the publishers, developers, what do you think they have to look out for as far as keeping these modes on the right track?
I think that it comes down to trying to keep things simple while trying to build the mode up, which kind of sounds counterintuitive, but you know, you're always going to have that block of people that like, you know, simplicity and things laid out in front of them. You're always going to have that core group of guys that want to grind 8 hours a day because they play this game full time, you know, on the internet live for the whole world to see. And they want to be able to do as much stuff as they can. So it ends up being about a balance. It's, you know, trying to find that, you know, that entry point for casual people and then that interest level for the high end. And that's always going to be something that there's going to be, I'm going to use the term discussion, but you know, we all know it means arguments on Twitter about where that balance point is. But I think that's always what it's going to come down to is, you know, is that balance point between casual and hardcore. And like I said earlier, I can see, you know, some of these games trending a little too close to the hardcore side of things. And I think you're going to, you know, see some things scaled back. But yeah, balance is what they have to try to achieve.
TJ, what's your thought on the biggest worry for these modes going forward?
Well, my biggest worry already happened. I think Madden had $100 packs at some point. So that's gone now. Yeah, I think the biggest worry is they just get way too complicated so that even the people that are super dedicated can't figure stuff out, which has kind of started happening in Madden to me a little bit, but I hope they keep going good and just try not to completely take over your life too much. I do worry that there's a lot of talk about, like, people want regulation on loot boxes and stuff. Mm-hmm. If that kind of stuff happens, I would be, and they have to, like, show odds and stuff, and people start, like, backing away from the modes. My biggest worry is that that could possibly cost us some games that are only existing because they still make a lot of money on the Ultimate Team side of stuff, or the Diamond Dynasty side, depending on which game it is. But I would be worried that there would be an opportunity for some games to go away if Ultimate Team ended up going away in the future.
Mills, what are your thoughts on this?
Just on that very last comment that TJ said about games going away, we don't have NHL right now if it's not for Ultimate Team.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, that NHL series is dead in the water if Ultimate Team doesn't keep NHL 15 going.
NBA Live's also not in existence right now without the potential of an Ultimate Team.
I agree with that.
Mobile would be alive, yes. Mobile would be alive, but not console.
I actually feel like, and I think I heard this somewhere in terms of, like, I think mobile almost funded a little bit of console. Mm. Like I think that their mobile revenue or at least showed that they could do that. The way it's set up, I mean, I would hope at some point they make it more accessible to everybody. One of the ideas that was brought up on Twitter in my feed was by Jurz Network, who is a EA sponsored NHL streamer, but also a big time MLB streamer that just came on the scene this year. He said that they should split up casual and competitive. make a competitive side for everybody that wants to have the leaderboards and make a casual side for the people that just want to play. And maybe even split up the challenges, like the solo challenges and that kind of stuff too. I know that someone said that the big problem with that would be, well, the competitive guys would just jump into the casual pool. Well, not if there's not a reward for it.
Right.
So maybe that's where this has to be, is like, here's the casual mutt. Here's the competitive mutt. Here's the casual FIFA Ultimate Team. Here's the competitive FIFA Ultimate Team. You can do solos, but you can only have spent, I mean, I don't even know how you decide it's casual at that point. Like, is it spent so much money? Is it because you're playing there for less rewards? I don't even know how that split happens, but I think that's, smarter people than me are going to have to find out how that works. Because as long as everybody's going for the same goals, these modes are always going to be pay to win. At some point, you know, pay to win is not going to be attractive for the people that, you know, bought $60 worth of game or $80 worth of game, or in NBA 2K's case, $150 worth of game,
yeah,
like up front. So,
all right, let's end on a kind of a positive note. Just tell me, what is your favorite card based mode this year, and what is it about that one that kind of pulled you in for this year? Let's start with you, TJ.
I'm gonna go with Diamond Dynasty this year. A lot of great content, a lot of stuff that they were doing this year to change up stuff with the events. A lot of hiccups was the real problem early in the year. It seems like they got all that stuff straightened out now, and hopefully next year will be closer to a very smooth launch.
We can always have hope, TJ.
Yeah, it took us 5 years, but we got there. But yeah, I really like how they have a ton of great content. If you don't want to play online, if you don't want to play against other people online, or if you want to just grind it out, but also great content if you want to play online and do the ranked seasons and play in all the events and stuff. They don't give you as many options as some of the other modes, but what they give you there is good, and there's always new stuff, and lots of cards to argue about. If this guy's better than that guy, or do I get this power hitting guy who can't field over this guy that can kind of hit a little bit but has amazing fielding? But yeah, that, I would definitely say Diamond Dynasty is my number one for this year, with a hot FIFA coming in second and a Madden third. There's like 700. They literally had one day when I think they put up 700 solos. So that I'm never going to touch one of them.
Snaggle, what's your go-to mode this year?
I'm going to say Diamond Dynasty, with the caveat that if we have this discussion again in 2 months, I very well might answer that question with Hockey Ultimate Team. I want to see how Hockey Ultimate Team progresses with the content side of things. I'm really enjoying it. But I think there is nobody who can deny that Sony San Diego put out one heck of a batch of content and is still putting out fantastic content. You know, we sat here and had this conversation last year about how awesome the MLB The Show content was, and they outdid themselves this year. It's, you know, for all the issues that the mode has with servers and the, you know, the various uproars surrounding the hitting engine, the mode itself is easy to get into. It's very linear. The games are very competitive. You know, I almost every single game of it I play is a good game of baseball for the most part, and it's an enjoyable experience. But yeah, so Diamond Dynasty is definitely my number one, with Hockey Ultimate Team right there. And yeah, Madden for me is third, just based on the fact that I need an accountant, a priest, and like three other assistants to try to figure out what to do.
Uber, what's your favorite one?
I would have to concur. Diamond Dynasty was definitely my favorite mode this release cycle, this year. They put out a ton of content, and yet it felt simple. You know, less is more sometimes. I like the currency system. I like the ability to compete with lesser players. to be able to find some gems, lower tier gems that I honestly haven't been able to find in some of these other game modes. And I just like the simplistic approach of how to complete challenges and sets and things like that. It seemed real straightforward, easy to grasp. Yet there was still a lot of content. I mean, a lot of new cards being dropped constantly, still being dropped, which is pretty amazing. And then a close second, NBA Live Mobile. That game really grabbed me over the last year. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that you know, I can play it anywhere, anytime, just a couple minutes at a time, and progress towards something, you know, progress towards a better team and unlock a new legend player and things like that. I like being able to do that on the go. So Diamond Dynasty, though, is still, to me, the cream of the crop.
All right, Mills, what are you going to complete a sweep here with Diamond Dynasty, or you got something else?
I'm actually not. Diamond Dynasty is my second favorite. Madden Mobile is my favorite.
Wow.
As crazy as it sounds, it's just I think they do everything right. I think they onboard well. I think the sets are well. I think the rewards are done really well. I have put some money into it because I believe in supporting it because of what they've done. I hope NBA Live Mobile, because as much as I liked it, what they're doing with Madden Mobile, I hope they move those, like the player training and the way sets are handled and that kind of stuff. I hope that gets moved over to NBA Live Mobile for whenever their season comes out. I don't even know when that is. But Diamond Dynasty is a very close second. If it was just console, Diamond Dynasty would be the one. But Madden Mobile has really blown me away in the last couple of months.
All right. Well, big thank you to everyone on the panel for coming on. Here's a chance for you to plug any of your stuff, where people can find you, your streams, your videos, anything you got coming up, all of that. TJ, that sports gamer.
Yeah, coming up next weekend, November 4th, my annual Extra Life for Kids charity stream is going to be going on. Starting at 9 a.m. on November 4th, I'm going to be playing video games for 25 hours because they keep putting it on the roll the clock back day, which I don't know why they do that. It makes Extra Life a lot harder. Yeah, we're playing a bunch of games. We got some great stream sponsors like this little podcast I know called the Press Row Podcast.
Yeah.
As well as Snaggle J is also a stream sponsor, so I appreciate that from both of you guys. Yeah, November 4th, 9 a.m., 25 hours of video games. You can find out more information and how you can donate to help over on thatsportsgamer.com/extralife. Normally, I just do it for the Children's Specialized Hospital of New Jersey, but because of all the stuff that happened this year, I've also signed up for an account in my son's name, and we're also playing for the San Jorge Children's Foundation in Santurce, Puerto Rico.
Oh, so. Awesome, man. Very cool. Chris Jardine, Snaggle J, what you got?
So I'm doing Extra Life as well. I'm doing it on a different day, just because they have it the first week in November. That's usually a personal conflict for me. So I'm doing mine on the 11th. Same idea, you know, TJ and I both believe it's a very good cause. He's actually the reason why, I'm part of the whole Extra Life initiative to begin with. I play for the IWK Hospital in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And yeah, so any of my stuff that's coming up, including Extra Life, I mean, just go to snagglej.com. Everything's there. Twitch streams, YouTube, everything, all in one convenient location.
Perfect. Daniel Basil, Uber YouTuber.
Yes, Uber YouTuber on YouTube. I wish I could say I'm doing some charity work. I feel terrible now.
That's why
I mean, you could trade me some. You could trade me some players in live if you want, in live mobile.
I can do that, and I shall donate to you, fine gentlemen. But I'm posting a video today. Well, by the time you guys listen to this show today, which I haven't posted a video in a long time, so if you do want to check it out, just Uber YouTuber on YouTube. Shameless plug.
That's what we're here for. Mills, go ahead.
You can find me my best content on the Press Row Podcast because my Twitter is literally a dumpster fire half the time, or on twitch.tv/millsgamingtv for some of those positive vibes as I kill people with the Huntress or the upcoming Freddy Krueger in Dead by Daylight. So
all right, well, Thanks, guys. Thank you again. And to the listeners out there, we appreciate your ears and your support. We'll be back with a new episode next week. Take care till then.
If you text Press Row to 727272, you get a free one-night game rental from Redbox. You know, video games are super fun and they're super expensive. And once you bust open that plastic, you're stuck with them. And that's why Redbox lets you try out the hottest new games risk-free. Right now, you can rent Middle Earth, Shadow of War, Destiny 2, NBA 2K18, and more. So just text Press Row to 727272 for a free one-night game rental. Redbox, the smarter way to watch and play. The offer expires December 31st, 2017, subject to additional terms. Charges apply for additional nights. Payment card required. If you're not in Text Club, Redbox will send you an additional text with an invite to join their recurring alerts. Message and data rates may apply. For terms, visit redbox.com/textclub. And for the privacy policy, visit redbox.com/privacy.